You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
We're having this conversation about deep male friendships, the brotherhood, right? And how young men can be encouraged to have close, intimate friendships with their friends, with their male counterparts, which commonly seems to be mocked. It's looked down on. It's misunderstood. It's mislabeled, which leads a lot of young men to just kind of avoid it altogether, right? And so what is the importance? What is that sacred power of a strong friendship between brothers, all right? And joining us on the line, we have Dr. Bonya once again speaking to us on this very important subject. My pastor, good morning. Welcome back to the program.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thank you so much for making time for us once again. Let's talk about this, Pastor. Why is emotional intimacy, I beg your pardon, why does that intimacy between male friends still seem to be taboo in so many cultures?
Yeah, I tend to think that it sounds that it's a taboo because of maybe news that has gone around sometimes that people around the world, sometimes they go beyond just having regular or innocent intimate relationships.
Yeah.
And because of that, I think at the back of the mind, people would want to avoid something that looks kind of negative or that kind of challenges their social position in society. So I think people would, maybe they would like they'd rather avoid that, so they don't show those kinds of emotions and stuff like that.
I think the exact same thing. I was just saying to the listeners earlier that I feel like when I was much younger, it was very common to see, you know, men who were friends with one another. You'd even see them holding hands and things like that, and it was platonic. It was not seen as anything negative. But the more that we've, you know, some of these conversations have become more commonplace and we've seen the relationships becoming very inappropriate, I think a lot of men have decided just to avoid that appearance, to just avoid it altogether. And that has now created this new generation of men. As they grow up, their understanding is that if you are a man, you cannot have any kind of affection toward another man. Because as soon as you do, it seems like there's something more than just friendship.
Yeah, and I think you have just opened my mind. I never really thought about this, but it looks like in the past, when I grew up, I had closest friends. I would talk to them over and over again. We're on the road. We're busy speaking, talking over and over again. But there's no suspicion. There's no nothing whatsoever. But this narrative has really pulled us aside, and it's like we are doing something wrong, and we are missing, our young people are missing quite a lot in the process.
Yes, and that's so unfortunate. Yeah. Now, how does isolation affect a boy's development into manhood?
Yeah, in fact, it's as simple as saying that when when you are all by yourself, you're isolated. Mm. There's no model. Mm. You don't have to look. You don't look up to anyone else. For instance, a long time ago, really, when we did not have many toys, I mean, there was nothing to play with. So you only had to find meaning in playing with friends in the field and the outside. But over time, I still remember that we have family members, they could be our own children, who are not able to play outside, because the only toy we would play with long time ago, it was outside. It was called outside.
Yeah.
So, but today you have to be inside. Maybe there was a day of a PlayStation and those kinds of things, people playing with themselves, I mean, playing at home with their instruments.
Yeah.
So they are all by themselves, they're individuals. There's no model. No one tells them what to do. No one tells them how to live. And also the other aspects, Sister Bong, is that when kids are at home, maybe young people are at home, and we have got working parents, they're working, they leave in the morning, they come in the night.
Yeah.
They will leave in the morning, they come in the night. There is no one to talk to.
Yeah.
And the only gadget they talk to is maybe the television screen and maybe the phone, the mobile phones and those kinds of things.
Yeah.
So I think it creates a bit of loneliness in the process, and there's no meaning to life, basically. So it creates a problem for the young people. Yeah, some of them can even go into depression because now there's no meaning to life, basically.
Yeah.
They're all by themselves.
Yeah. We're not created for isolation. Yeah.
No, we are meant for relationships,
And what you're talking about, when children are raised by the television and the internet, that is such a frightening thought, because we don't even know who those people are that are putting those thoughts and those things into our children's minds. And, you know, it's funny how we teach our children, don't talk to strangers, you know, be careful of the friends that you make.
Right.
And then we have a remote control and we let the TV be their friend. And those are even worse strangers sometimes that were allowed.
It is. And sometimes we think that no one is teaching our children, but whether it's in silence, whether in quietness, but somebody is learning something from somewhere, someplace. Oh. And if we don't get into their space, the space of our children, really, somebody is still teaching them. Yeah. They're still learning. You find these days, even little kids who are not even speaking, they're on the phone, they're on the internet, whatsoever, looking at pictures and stuff like that. You do not know how to do or what to do sometimes. So, but our kids are affected. They're affected. Our young people are affected. Yeah,
For sure. Now, what can biblical friendships like the one we see between David and Jonathan, for example, what do those kinds of friendships teach young boys today?
One of the lessons is that those kinds of friendships, they're meant to confide. If you've got a challenge in life, you should be able to, or you choose to be vulnerable. Say, my friend, I've got this kind of situation. You can release your burden or burdens onto someone else, somebody who can keep secrets for you. But at least you say, hey, I've got a friend that I can talk to. I've got a friend I can pray with. Mm-hmm. I've got a friend that I can unload the things that are off my heart. Because by sharing your burden, really, most of the times your burden has been shared, but at the same time, it's so therapeutic. Mm-hmm. Healing takes place because you're able to offload it onto someone else. But when there's no one to listen to, it becomes a problem. Mm-hmm. So I would say that in terms of the example of David and Jonathan, this is a friendship that is so intimate, very close, very so tightly knit. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm thinking about having a friend to pray with, where you can come and say, my brother, my sister, I've got this kind of problem. Let's talk. It's not just a casual talk all the time, but you're talking about a friendship that brings somebody closer to God. Yeah. To say, brother, don't do this. Sister, don't do this. Don't do this. But you talk it in the context of fearing God and loving God. And that kind of thing. Yeah.
That's beautiful. When I think about David and Jonathan, and I think it's later on when David ends up helping Jonathan's son, because of that relationship that he had with Jonathan, I think about our societies, especially for us as Africans. Yes. And I know when I was growing up, my father's friends, I saw them also as my father's, right?
So yes.
Wherever I am in the world, wherever I might be, if there's someone there who is my father's friend, I feel like my father is there. So I have that protection, I have that safety, and also I know to act right because I can't start acting any kind of way just because my dad is not here, because just by virtue of those brothers that my father has, it to me, it feels like my father himself is here. So even the way I behave and everything like that, I think it's...
Exactly, and actually you're bringing a thought that's very important, that in old days, really, It would take the whole village to raise a child. That's in Africa. That's African thinking.
Yes.
It takes the whole village to raise a child. So much so that even if it's not my father who is biological, but anyone can actually talk to me and reprimand me and say, son, this is not the way to go.
Exactly.
And probably in the same vein, we would, those of us who are grown up, it is very important to take responsibility over those young people. Mm. Some of them, they may hold back, but most of them, I think, they would open up if we greet them and talk to them and say, son, what are you doing today? What's going on in your life? What about academics and what about plans for the future? Mm. Some of them may not be very comfortable in the first place, but talking to them. And that's very beautiful. I think the friendship of David and Jonathan went a long way because Jonathan did not know that really years after his own son would be assisted.
Exactly.
Would be assisted. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Those friendships, those brotherhoods that you build, they're not just for you. They'll spill over to your children as well.
So true.
Yeah.
Now, so true.
Pastor,
so true.
Do you think that we might be unintentionally teaching boys that vulnerability is some kind of a weakness?
Sometimes I've never thought about this, but sometimes we may teach them that way, not necessarily because we're intentional.
Okay.
Yeah, but sometimes we say, no, don't share. No, you need to keep it to yourself. Either people are going to steal your dreams, and don't talk to anyone. You need to
Yes.
be, you need to, yeah. Please don't just speak to anyone. It's not a good idea. So, and sometimes young people don't know how to balance. They're ball in their hearts. They want to talk to someone. They cannot talk. They cannot open up. So sometimes we do it intentionally, unintentionally, but at the same time, it kills our own children. At the same time, of course, we say, don't talk to anyone. Don't talk to strangers whatsoever. But I think there must be a way of helping them to select people they can confide in. It could be counselors, it could be Christian counselors, it could be godly people, spiritual people. Just directing them to know if they want to confide in anyone, don't want to talk to anyone, let them talk to these kinds of people, give them examples, and children are going to listen to that. Our young people are going to listen to that, but we need to be able to give them direction as much as possible.
Right. And how do we do that, Pastor? How do we create spaces where boys can learn to bond and open up and build each other up?
Probably we already have systems. For instance, in the church setting, we have systems in place already. We have got these pathfinders. We have these junior youth. You have got adventurers whatsoever. I'm just talking about the church setting. Probably in terms of programming, we need to be intentional. We have got things that we have already been teaching before as a church to our pathfinders, our adventurers whatsoever. But we need to be intentional in terms of bringing the aspect of friendship, good friendships that can create that our young people, our boys and girls can make use of. So I think it's a matter of programming. That is at a bigger level, maybe larger level. Talk about programming in the church, but also in the family. I think during family times, like if you've got morning worship, that's how I do it. Besides reading God's holy word, besides reading the devotional books whatsoever, but there are times that we just sit there just to reflect and just talk about life, talk about vulnerabilities. And sometimes I, as a parent, also, I don't show all the time that I'm strong all the
All
time,
right, yeah.
but I choose to be vulnerable. And if I've made a mistake, I say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. If there was an event that I acted maybe stupidly, if there's anything like that, I was foolish and sometimes in making some little decision, I would actually display it. I'm not trying to be too vulnerable so that I become a laughing stock, but I'm simply saying, I want to encourage my children also to be able to confide in me, to be able to open up. Because everyone can make a mistake in life. So we need to, sometimes we choose to be vulnerable. Of course, it's calculated. You're only doing it because you're trying to build someone in the process.
Beautiful. I love that. I love that. Thank you so much, Pastor. As we're wrapping up, I was saying earlier that it seems to me, as a woman observing from the outside, it seems to me that it looks easier for men to come together for things that are not that meaningful. So things like I was saying, maybe if they want to get together to go watch a game, a soccer game, or to do something fun, something lighthearted. It seems like it's easier for men to come together, even as strangers, to come together and have a good time together, rather than coming together for things that, maybe sharing a vulnerability. Someone is going through something difficult and they need help or they need godly counsel. That seems to be a little bit more difficult. Trying to get men to come together and do something as an organization at church seems to be more difficult than just getting together for a braai and things like that. Why do you think that is? And how can we encourage more of, these things that can bring together that brotherhood?
Yeah, I think the first one is the why part. Why do they do this? Because I've seen in church, if you talk about ammo, come to church, they know they will not, you not see them. Even young people, they don't find them. You find girls and those ones doing, they're able to come together. Even women, they can cook together, do things together. But men, they're almost isolated. I think one of the reasons is that sometimes I think we are being reminded over and over again that we don't show emotions, we don't disclose either, because where we are coming from, our upbringing has taught us that, society has taught us that you don't choose to look weak, because men are meant to be strong. And that even at home, in fact, even when you fall on the ground, you're a little kid, you're a boy, and say, no, boys don't cry, boys don't cry. And children are like, girls are encouraged to cry, actually. Say, no, don't,
Yeah,
no,
let it
please,
out.
see over the let it out. But sometimes boys are taught not to cry, and that makes them to be so secluded sometimes. And I think we still need, as a church, we need to be intentional still to create spaces where men can meet as men. I'm so glad that I've listened, I've watched some churches bringing their young people together, their teenagers together, just to talk, to do the one-on-one talk. And sometimes I've seen some churches that have also assigned young people to some mentors, or maybe their mentors are available and their young people are encouraged actually to choose their mentors of their choice in the church context. So because young people still need mentors, they need you need a mentorship program, and we need to be intentional. If it is not programmed and if it is not planned, nothing's going to take off. It'll be just like another big talk, another big dream. So we need to be intentional as churches, be intentional as parents, be intentional as leaders of our institutions. Even in an institution like where I serve, or maybe where you serve, Stavonge, there could be young people there, and they have no one to talk to sometimes. So I think we need to still open some little spaces where people can just talk, and what you call them building block. What do you, this thing that talks about people building or team building activities? Oh, yeah. Right, yeah, in the workplace. Yeah, talk about team building activities, and some of the things could be not much, but in a way demonstrate that it's important for young people to find a place where they can talk, they can discuss, and that kind of thing. Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Pastor, for coming through once again. I'm glad we had this conversation, and I trust that the men out there are listening, and that we'll be able to raise our young men as well to be more open to these relationships that can build one another up, and especially as men are going through things that maybe women might not be able to understand or support you through. It's good to have that village of men that you can rely on and lean on and pray together, grow together. Thank you so much, Pastor. God bless you.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.